Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, you glad you're here this morning? Come on, help me out just a little bit. If there was a better church in town, I'd be there, but there's not. And man, what a wonderful week. And it was a privilege, Carl, to do your dad's service. It was a privilege, and that's when the Lord started giving me this message. So, you know, I never thought I could leave Melman's with a belly full of food and then come out here and hear from heaven. But I did. Praise God. Oh, man. See, when I go to Melman's, I get the broiled Canadian whitefish. But since they were paying for it, I got the prime rib. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thought I'm going to take advantage of this. Now, yeah, I'm being honest, right? Oh, my gosh. And I was just talking about cutting back. And so I tried to cut back. I had the really good stuff, you know, coleslaw and beets. And then I saw that coconut cream pie. Did you bypass it? Right down through my stomach, I bypassed it. Golly. You know, that's, Desiree gave me a little thing. And she goes, here, we're going to eat at Melman's. I thought, oh, glory to God. It was a test and I failed it, but that's all right. Amen. Amen. But I want to talk to you about something very important this morning, especially we've got some of the young people out here. It's called faith and vision. Faith and vision. You cannot have faith without vision. There are millions of people running around the world who are perishing because they have no vision. And I want to read Proverbs 29:18, and she's already got it up there. And where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the word, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the word of God, happy is he. Why? Because the word of God is designed to produce vision in you. Amen. It's designed to put a vision in you. The woman with the issue of blood would have died if she had not had a vision of herself being healed. And we're going to show you in the scripture a little bit later about that story, but the vision of herself being healed gave her the faith to get out of the bed of affliction and fight her way through the multitude of people, as weak as she was, to get to Jesus. She had a vision on the inside of her. She said, if I can just get to Jesus. She had that vision. And we'll talk about that a little later. And let me say this, your vision determines your destination in life. Come on, your vision determines your destination in life. And when you find your destiny dictates your decisions. When God called me into the ministry, all my decisions from that point forward were based on his vision for my life. Clear up until the point that I walked off the government, after 12 years with the government, walked off the government, with nothing, a few dollars in the bank, a Ryder truck pulling a station wagon, went from Texas to Oklahoma to obey God. Because every decision I had made after God had given me the vision was based on my vision, was based on my destination. And God, listen here, God will implant a picture on the inside of you. It's a vision, which brings faith, hope, and expectation for your future. Amen? Every one of you have a future. God has a vision and a purpose for everyone's life under the sound of my voice, and we're going to talk about that just for a little while before we take communion. Wasn't that worship good this morning? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've said this once time before, but it's worth repeating. Helen Keller, who was blind, once said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." Let me say that again. She said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight with no vision. Many people have sight but have no vision. And if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there. And people are living in anxiety, stressed out, and everything else because they have no vision. Everyone is born for a specific purpose designed by God himself. Come on. Everyone is born with a specific purpose. Through the new birth, I'm going to say this is very important. Through the new birth, you have the divine ability to know the future that God has planned for your life. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you because of the new birth. You don't have to spend years of your life not knowing where to go and not knowing what to do. God did not design it that way. He wants to reveal to every born-again believer His vision for their life. Everyone. It's called revelation. Revelation. Revelation is where God reveals something to you through the eyes of the Spirit. Let me say that again. Revelation is where God reveals something to you through the eyes of the Spirit on the inside of you. That's one reason, not the only reason. One reason we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to lead us and to guide us, and I'm sure Joe's going to teach on that. John 16:13, look what this says. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Holy Spirit, see, every time Jesus describes the Holy Spirit, He uses personal pronouns because He's a person. And He's present here in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Howbeit, He, when the Spirit of truth has come, look here, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And not only will He show you the truth of God's Word, revelation, He will show you things to come. He will give you a vision of what He wants you to do in life, if you really want to know it. There are some people that should be here today, and they're not because they don't really care. But you're here today. You made a decision to be here today. And God has something so much better for us than what we could ever imagine for ourselves. Amen? He will reveal to you the truth of God's Word. That's called revelation knowledge. He will show you things to come. That's vision. I want to look what Paul wrote to the Ephesians church in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15 through 18. Here it is here in a nutshell. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and love to all the saints, he said, I don't cease to give thanks for you. I cease not. He said, I make mention of you in my prayers. In other words, they were continually in Paul's prayers, the church at Ephesus. And here's what he prayed, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, look here, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Right there it is. The hope of His calling is His vision for your life. And in verse 19, He wants you to know the power available to fulfill your vision. Amen. Don't ever, 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 ever let anyone talk you out of the vision that God has placed in your heart. You got to be careful. Don't listen to negative people. Don't let anyone tell you that your vision can't come to pass. Where is this going to come from? Where is that going to? It's going to come right out of the throne room of God. Come on. Because there's no shortage of anything in the kingdom of God. We used to have some naysayers go here. They're all gone. Negative people. And some of you remember, especially the leads, they've been with us for a long time. And then we had one guy here. Thank God he's gone. He came here to try to get a ministry position. It didn't work for him. Listen, if God's got a ministry position for you here, it'll work for you. You can't. Are you listening to me? I led the worship back in the back. I went to vacation one time, come back, and he put himself up on the worship team. He did. So we had church in his home for a little while, very little while, because we outgrew everything else. And, I want you to come to my house. Well, I got this evening going. And he come to me one time and he goes, I got to talk to you. We got a problem. I got to talk to you. I thought something bad happened. I said, what is it? His name was Al. That's all I'm going to say. He goes, the youth, they used a whole roll of toilet paper. It wasn't long we got out of that mess. You talk about building a church. Where's the money coming from? Where's the money going? These money-minded people, hello? Come on now. They don't have money. Money has them. Come on. You follow God. He'll keep money in your checking account for you. You honor God financially, He will honor you. Amen. So don't let anyone ever tell you that God's vision for your life cannot. I don't care. God might be giving some of these young people a vision of being a president one day. Look at the life of our vice president, J.D. Vance. Who would have ever thought growing up? He would have, in his wildest dream growing up, his own mother tried to kill him. She was a drug addict. And he went through all this mess. Who would have ever thought that one day he would have been vice president of the United States of America? Come on, huh? Don't ever say anything. God wants you to know his vision, and he also wants you to know the power available to fulfill that vision. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world system. Don't let anybody talk you out of anything. There's a difference between reading the Word of God and seeing what it says. I've had people say, well, God's never spoke to me, Pastor Jeff. I said, have you ever read the Bible? The Bible is God speaking to you. Come on. The Bible is God speaking to you. And the Spirit and the Word of God will always agree. The Bible is more than a history book. It's God speaking to you by His Spirit on the inside of you. I want you to read what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. This is so good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 13. As it is written, eye has not seen, talking about the natural eye, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. God has so many things prepared for the born-again believer. So many things. And we don't need to live a life less than what he has for us. I don't want you to go to heaven and have God show you all the things he had for you and then slap yourself in the face. I could have had that. Yes. I tried to get your attention. But you were snoring in church. No, at least you're here, amen. At least you're here. The natural eye and the natural ear can't even comprehend unless you're born again. I love this next verse. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man in the natural, but the Spirit of God knows it. We just showed you why the Spirit of truth was sent. Now, we, the born-again believer, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know something. That we won't be a bunch of dummies running around the earth wondering what's going on. Hello? We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And then once we find out those things, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the things which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So when I see the vision, right there it is. So when I see the vision that's been revealed to me by His Spirit, then I speak the vision. When I see what God has provided for me to do, then I speak it out. Amen. I speak it. Then as I see it and I speak it, it will produce the faith that I need to act upon it. God's calling some of you to do some wonderful things. I had a very good job with the government, very good. I was 6 years active duty and then framed houses for 10.5 months and then the government, anyways, we got on with the government. But every day I would carry my little New Testament with me. Every single day I would read my Bible. Every break I had, every lunchtime I had. While some of them were sleeping, I was reading the Word of God. And I got closer to God than I did to government. Closer to God. And then I remember when God called me. I remember specifically when I saw that vision. And then that's when I started making decisions based on that vision to sell the home and leave town and take off and go into the ministry like God had called me to do. But I spoke it out first. I spoke it out. If you went in my bedroom in Texas there was two worn out places by my bed where my knees were. You know, a lot of the church is dying on their feet because they're not living on their knees. Just thought I'd throw that in. I'm not bragging to you. And because it was a very important decision. I had a wife. I had kids. Ashley and Alicia, they weren't even thought about. They were way out in the picture there. That was another thing, another story. But I wanted to hear from God. I wanted to know his vision for my life. I asked him. I said, God, I told you when I was in Korea, when I got back from Korea, Lord, that I would do whatever you want me to do. And Lord, now I want you to show me. And he showed me, and we've been walking in it ever since. Give the Lord a hand. Come on. What a perfect plan designed by God himself. Even Job in the Old Testament said this, Job 32:8, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. That's called being led by the Spirit. Come on, that's what it's called, being led by the Spirit. I love what Solomon said in Proverbs 3:5-6. My wife has it on the refrigerator door. Every time I go to get that ice cream, it's right there. I called the wife Friday night when I got back from Ruth's. You know, sometimes, you know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And I had a vision of a strawberry sundae. Oh, God. I called her, honey, did you get any ice cream? No, you told me not to. Okay. So my flesh said, you don't want to go to Wash. I don't want to go to Wash. You don't want to go to Reese, but no, I don't want. So anyways, I ended up going to the marathon nearby, off Route 9, where I used to see John Getzloff's dumpster there, you know, by the marathon. And my flesh said, oh, I'm sure they got some ice cream, and boy, they did. And on that top row, Rocky Road. I said, oh! So just to make my flesh feel good, no, I've been delivered from chocolate. And the wife started laughing. Did you find what you want? I said, oh, honey, you'd be proud of me. I resisted that rocky road. She said, what'd you get? I said, vanilla. She started laughing. So, hallelujah, I'm going to get over that. But here's what Proverbs said, and it goes along the line with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's your spirit man. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He shall see you don't learn. He doesn't talk to you. He talks to you in your spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, because your mind will disagree with what the Spirit's saying. Your mind will say, "Oh, there's no way that's going to happen. There's no way. How are you going to do this? Where's the money going to come? Oh no, no." But listen, it's like Janet told the doctor, "With my God, there's nothing impossible. Come on, with my God, there's nothing impossible. With my God, there's nothing impossible." He will direct your paths. What will he do? He'll give you vision. And his vision always brings purpose. It's your future. And I've said this before, don't allow your past to hinder your future. I'm going to say something very important. I don't know if I've ever said this. When you keep looking at what you haven't done, you fail to see what you can do. That's good stuff. When you keep looking in life about what you haven't done, then you fail to see what you can do. You have to determine, listen, that you're going to do something with the rest of your life that you have left here on planet Earth, because like I said at the funeral, James said your life is even a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then boom, it vanishes away. It goes by very, very, very quickly. Amen. And as God gives you the vision for your life, run with it. Run with it. Run with it. Run with it. Is that Hayden back there? Yeah, I thought that was Hayden back there. See, he's got a vision. about being an electrician and going, and man, I mean, he's acting out his vision. God gave him a vision and he's acting it out. And he's going to be one of the best ones in the valley because he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. He's a righteous man. God needs people in every areas of life. He definitely needs spirit-filled politicians. Definitely needs spirit-filled doctors and nurses. Amen. Amen. Not everybody's called to go into the full-time ministry. But if God gives you that vision, he'll make a way for you. Amen. Amen. And as God gives you a vision for your life, run with it. Don't allow anyone to talk you out of it or tell you that it can't be done. The very church that I was a member of back in the 80s, when God told me to resign the government and go into the ministry, they tried to talk me out of it. They said, you've got a wife and kids. You need to wait till your kids are older. You're going to do this. You got a good job. You've got the job that men are standing in line. And they talked all this. It was all the negative stuff. I had to shut all that out and get alone with God. I thought the very people I thought had faith is telling me I'm going to fail. Because, see, the enemy wants to paint a picture or give you a vision of failure. That's not in God's vocabulary. Come on. There's no one a failure in Christ. We're learners. Come on. We're learners. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the strength. Whatever God calls you to do, you can do. Are you listening to me? I don't care what it is. Whatever he calls you to do, you can do. It's funny because I play dumb. I'm very good at it. Don't say amen, please. But I was doing a funeral for somebody's daddy that's here today. And he warned me about his sister. And so she comes up to me and, you know, just all the, well, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this. And yeah, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And I'm okay, I'll just listen. And she said, have you ever preached a funeral before? I said, no, but I spent the night at the Holiday Inn Express. That's wisdom. You should have seen her face. She didn't know I'd done a couple hundred of them. Because I was playing dumb. She was telling me everything I was going to do. Hallelujah. Every family's got one. Come on now, help me. I'm just a little bitter. Yeah. But see, don't let anybody put a damper on your vision or tell you something can't be done. Are you listening? I wanted to deliver my own babies at the house, but Mary didn't have the faith. Remember? She I sure didn't. She committed to the right time. I said, honey, I know I can deliver them. Please let me. No way. You know why? Because we were in a Baptist church back then. We didn't have enough. Hallelujah. And then he went on to say in the 19th verse, but my God. First he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and my God shall supply everything you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Give the Lord a hand. Always remember this. Along with God's vision comes his provision. Along with God's vision comes his provision. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. God will never give you vision without his divine provision. You won't have to beg people for money to fulfill it. You won't have to do that. I'm sorry. I have a hard time with ministries that have begathons. I'm sorry. Well, it goes against the word of God. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Come on, listen, we don't have to beg God for anything. What we have to do is do what he called us to do. And that, the lepers, they wanted to be healed. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Because when a leper got healed, he had to go to the priest, get a clean bill of health so he could be back in society so they wouldn't have to holler unclean. And the Bible says as they went, they were healed. When God called Abraham to get away from his relatives, get away from his family, he said, I want you to go to a place. When Abraham left everything, he made a mistake. He took a lot with him. Amen. He made a mistake. But God made him very, very rich and very, very blessed. Come on. He didn't know where he was going. Listen, as you step out in faith to fulfill God's vision, His provision will always be there for you. We have never lacked. We have never, ever, ever lacked in the financial realm of this church, and we never will. Give the Lord a hand for that, because this is part of His vision, and He always has provision for His vision. Amen. I love that. Church Alive is a result of God's vision and His provision. He's provided for everything that we've ever needed, and He will continue to do so. That God's master key to prosperity is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Never taken away. He will add them unto you. Come on, help me out. He will add them unto you. And you don't ever have to apologize to anyone for the blessings of God, because when you honor God, He'll honor you. Amen? Amen. When you honor God, and somebody says, what are you paying that much for that car or that? But you know what I'll say? Let me see your checkbook. Let me see how much you've been honoring. See, people always, they run their mouth. Come on now. And the world's full of negative people. But we need to serve God. Come on. Find His vision for our life. Come on. Fulfill it. Walk in His blessing with a big smile on your face. And then always be ready to tell somebody what God did for you. I love what Paige said up here. It's because of God that any of us was even, come on, even here today. It's because of Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom. Why? There are no shortages in His kingdom. Not at all. Your reason for existence is to fulfill the vision that God has for your life. That's your reason for existence. And it's imperative that you find it and fulfill it. And when you find it, stick with it. Don't ever quit, because you will have opposition. And the greater the calling, the greater the opposition. Amen. You're not going to act on something that you don't have a vision on. I love Galatians 6:9. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season we will reap if we don't quit. Come on. And nobody's going to quit in this church. Come on. Hallelujah. When God is, the Bible says, faithful is He that calls you, who will also do it. The reason many people don't tithe, because they don't have a vision of it. They don't have a vision of its benefits. They don't have a vision that is part of our worship. They don't have a vision of God's, the windows of heaven opening and pouring out blessings that's hard to receive. The Bible says these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. You won't possess more than you have vision for or what you can see. Let me say that again. You won't possess more than you have vision for, or more than you can see, spiritually speaking. I have faith for healing because I see myself healed by reading the Word of God. Come on. I have faith for healing because I have a vision of myself being healed every time I read the healing scriptures. And man, some of you, listen, your healing is on the way. I said, your healing is on the way. I can sense it. I can feel it. His word on healing gives me a vision of being healed. And I noticed this, and this is very, very important. Jesus had to speak to people in parables because they couldn't perceive what He was trying to tell them. How many people in the world has no idea about what you're hearing today, has no idea about what the Bible says? As a matter of fact, when you try to tell them, they're going to shut you off. They're going to shut you down. And that's why they have no vision. That's why they're perishing. That's why they're running around all anxious, over-anxious, sick, broke. I want you to read this with me in Matthew chapter 13. Yeah, Matthew 13, verse 13 through 16. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. You have no revelation. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive what you see. Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time, now look here, they should see with their eyes, Revelation, hear with their ears, the Spirit, and should understand with their heart, and should be, first of all, converted or saved, and I should heal them. Right there it is in black and white. But blessed are your eyes, the church, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Give the Lord a hand. Right there it is. Bible says here, their heart is hardened. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. They don't want to hear the truth. How many people are like that? Amen. They have no vision. There is a connection here, as I read this, there's a connection between three things here. Hearing, seeing, and understanding in the heart. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Amen? I love Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart out of your heart. Right here it is. This book of the law shall not depart out of your eyes, right? But you shall meditate therein day and night, not just once a week. This book of the law shall not depart out of your eyes. You shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Here it is. I missed it. Out of your mouth. Because what's in your heart is going to come out of you. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You need to speak it. But you shall meditate. I knew there was one word I got wrong there. Forgive me. I got one word wrong. Can I try it again? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that according that is written therein, and that's what's going to happen. You're going to fail? No. You're going to make your way prosperous, and you're going to have good success. Right here, here's the key, prosperity and success, right? Through the word of God. Now listen, through finding the vision that God has for your life, then speaking it out, and then walking it out by faith. Because God's got so much of a better plan for your life than you do. You see, people think, well, I got to give up this to serve God. I got to give that up. The only thing that I gave up was a one-way ticket to hell. Come on. That's the only thing I gave up right there. Because Jesus said, no man has left father's house, mother, brother, lands for my sake that I won't return to them 100-fold in this present life. Houses and everything else that they're going to need. So always remember that when God calls you to do something. And always remember this. I've said this before. Winners are willing to give up temporary comforts for future victories. Come on. Winners are always willing to give up temporary comforts for future victories. There was a price to be paid to go from the old here to the new. There was a tremendous price to be paid. We gave up comforts of a nice facility, starting out in the old gymnasium. You never end up where you start out with God. Always remember that. You never end up where you start out with God. Amen. The more you read the Bible, the clearer your vision will be. Amen. And when it does become clear to you, make your vision your number one priority in your life. Habakkuk 2:3, do you have that up there? The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. I want to read that out of the Amplified Bible. I like this better. Listen to this. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hurries toward the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come to pass. Come on, give the Lord a hand. No one ever starts out in life at the top rung of the ladder. Amen? You start out as an apprentice, no matter what you do, or a novice. And the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He works in steps. Amen. Amen. The vision, even though it delays. And when God gives you that vision, you can listen, go for it, base your life on it. Take one step at a time. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Amen? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There are things that I've been able to do that I couldn't do years ago in the beginning of my ministry. I was too stupid. Somebody say amen. Come on, Pat, come on. I didn't know anything. All I knew was when I was saved and I loved the Lord. Amen. When God called me to preach, I said, "You got the wrong guy, God." And we lived on 1407 Ford Street, Lampasas, Texas, that brick house right there in the corner. So I was so spiritual. I took a bucket of sand and stuck it outside one night. I said, "Okay, God, if you want me to preach, just upset this bucket of sand tonight." I went out there and it was still full of sand. You know why? Because I was dumber than that sand, that's why. Come on, I didn't know anything. But later on, as I walked toward that vision, that God gave me more vision. And he took me here, and then he took me there. And it's been a wonderful thing. Amen. But let me just say this. Before I was able to do what God called me to do, I saw myself doing it in the Spirit. I had a vision of it. The Word of God put a blueprint on the inside of me. I saw myself preaching at many different places years before I actually did it. And it came to pass. My season came. I had a vision of this church before we even built it. Let me say this. Your faith produces the blueprint for your vision. Your faith does. Remember what we talked about, the woman with the issue of blood? He said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Why? Because she had a vision. Put Matthew 9:21. For she said within herself, if I may just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She had a vision. It doesn't say how long that she had that vision. It doesn't say how long it took her to get to Jesus. But here's the thing. She spoke out her vision long before the manifestation came, but she had to act on it. She could have stayed home and died. She could have spoke that vision out till they buried her, but she had a vision on the inside of her of touching the hem of Jesus' garment. Then she spoke it out, and the time came. She got out of that bed of affliction, and she acted on her vision. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Come on, her season came. No longer did she bleed. No longer was she broke. Think about that just for a moment, what Jesus can do in your life if you'll get a vision. She said within herself. She saw it on the inside of her. God has given every one of us the responsibility to seek out his vision for our lives and then to act on it to fulfill it. His plan, always remember this, his plan is so much better for you than what your plans are. Come on. His plans are so much better. And it's going to mean more when you seek it out yourself, because then it becomes personal. And when hard times come, the enemy won't be able to steal it from you. And I said it before, the greater the calling, the greater the opposition. When God chooses someone for ministry, he always looks at their faithfulness. Come on. He always looks at their faithfulness. He looks for someone who is faithful. Because if they're not being faithful now, why should God choose them, right? If you're not faithful in the job that you're doing now, why would God bless you with a better job? Yeah, but they don't treat me right. Listen, you're supposed to do your work as doing it under the Lord. Come on. And don't be bad-mouthing the boss with everybody else like everybody else is doing. You're supposed to do your work as doing it under the Lord, and then God will promote you when time comes. Come on, help me out just a little bit here. And young people, when you go to an interview, get cleaned up. Brush your hair. Put your best clothes on.
Yeah, but the Bible says, don't look at the outward, but God looks on the heart. God don't look on the outward, Pastor. He looks on the heart.
But God's not the one doing the interviewing. Come on. If I'm interviewing for somebody with a job and they come in with half their shirt tail tucked out, half their hair like they just woke up, next please. Come on. I am so glad that Donald Trump changed it, where you have to be hired on your merit, not anything. Come on. Luke 16, this is what Jesus said, verse 10 through 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you don't have been faithful in the unrighteous things, who will commit to your trust to true riches? Huh? That's what Jesus said. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Right? Come on, so let's be faithful. Come on. Do your work as doing it unto the Lord. Amen. Before God called my wife and I, Mary, into the ministry, we were faithful in the local churches that we attended. Mary always worked a nursery with the children for years and years and years. Even when Adam and Amanda, when they were little kids, Lynette, they were little babies, she was working the nursery. And I did everything the pastor needed to do. I don't care if it was remodel, whatever, preach for him, help fix the building, whatever it was. And I believe in my heart that that's why God sent a bunch of faithful people here to us. Come on, because we were faithful. Time is too short, isn't it, to be spinning our wheels. God's given us another 4 years of prosperity. I believe that. And let me just say this. If you don't see God's vision for your life, the enemy will gladly give you a replacement vision. All you have to do is nothing. Just sit down and watch television and the enemy will give you his vision. If all you do is not see God and sit down and watch television, the enemy will give you his vision. It's the truth. He's called the prince of the power of the air. If you haven't figured it out yet, he uses TV commercials to give you a vision of a short, unhealthy life. You ought to see all them commercials, all about sickness. And if you're over 40, you're going to have this. If you're over 50, you're going to have this. If you're over 60, you're done, Jack. You're done. Scriptures will produce longevity, not statistics. Let me say that again. Scriptures will produce longevity, not statistics. I have a vision of living a long, healthy life on planet Earth until my job is finished, and I found it in the Word of God. Just a couple scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. My son, forget not my word. Let your heart keep my commandments. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Amen. Amen. Put verses 9 through 11 up there. For by me your days shall be multiplied. The years of your life shall be increased. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand for that. That's what you need to hang on to. Psalm 91:16. For with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Those are just a few scriptures there. This is where you need to get your vision from. Man, I mean, not... It's like Pat said, they relocated her pain. Amen. And let me always say this. I got to say this. If your vision doesn't line up with the Word of God, you better erase it real quick. Amen. Because the enemy is always trying to put a vision of failure on the inside of you. I've seen when people get badly sick, the devil gives them a vision of dying of cancer. Back in 2020, every time somebody sneezed, they got COVID. They got COVID. You remember? You couldn't even sneeze. That was a tough year, wasn't it? The devil will give you mental videos that he won't charge you rent on. He'll let you keep them for months. He'll even push play for you. That's right. But you've got to change that with the Word of God. Many successful people, and I've known many of them, they'll tell you how they dreamed of their successes even as a child. They had a vision of success and based all their decisions on reaching the goal of their vision, and they put God first, and through God they were able to fulfill it. Come on. And they're living a successful life today. God doesn't want any of his people just surviving. He wants them thriving. Come on. He wants them thriving. What a year to make up your mind you're going to thrive. I've heard this said and even said it myself because it's scriptural. You can have what you say, but I'm going to add to that, you can also have what you see. You can also have what you have vision for, what you see in the Word of God. Amen. You have to see it before you speak it by faith. The power of vision will take you through the hard times of life because you know the end result will be victory. I thought about Joseph, who was sold as a slave, thrown in a pit, had a dream, a vision when he was a little boy, but he held on to that vision. He held on to it through slavery. He held on to it through prison and everything else in between till the time came when his vision was finally fulfilled. He kept his eyes and his heart on the vision that God gave him when he was a young boy. The devil tried his best to ruin his vision, but no weapon that was formed against him shall prosper. He went from a pit to a prison to a palace, and one of the reasons was he never held a grudge against people that came against him. Come on, holding grudges and unforgiveness will stop your vision. Because when his brothers finally recognized who he was, they thought they were dead because they're the ones that threw him in a pit. They're the ones that sold him as a slave. And I call it the Genesis 50-20 rule. Always remember the Genesis 50-20 rule. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to good. Come on, God meant it to good to bring to pass. As this day to save much people alive. God has given everyone. He wants to give everyone a vision of his life. And don't let anybody hinder that vision. Amen. What happened was Joseph's faith was tried. God's going to try you to see if you really mean business with him. Amen. He is. And let me just say this, man. Once you pass God's test, look out. Mary and I are walking in a place in our lives now where I could have never even dreamed about years ago when we first got saved. I never dreamed how good it could be. I want to read Psalm 105, and we're going to quit right here. We're going to take communion this morning. This is talking about Joseph. I think I want to go 17 through 22. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a slave, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. He's probably, look what he went through. Until the time that his word came. Until the time his vision was ready to be fulfilled. Now look at this. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. I'm trying to do the word. No, the word's trying you. You read the word of God and it will try you to see if you, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Why? Because he hung on to the vision that God gave him. He didn't blame anybody for trying to stop him. He went through the fire and stayed with the vision that God gave him, and it paid off in the end. Find your vision, hang on to your vision, speak your vision, and one day you'll be walking in your vision. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Come on. I'm going to ask those four ushers to come on up and serve you communion. And isn't God good today? Amen. You're never too young or ever too old to fulfill God's vision for your life. But I'm old, Pat. It does not matter. It does not. God can still use you. If you have breath left in you, God can use you. But I'm shut in at my home, Pastor Jeff. I'm watching you online. I'm shut in. Listen, you can do more through prayer at your house than you can do, listen, anywhere else. Come on. Develop that relationship with God. Pray. Seek God. Amen? Father, as we take communion this morning, I just ask like Jimmy that the healer would move here this morning and that they would be like Colleen and others here that just felt that heat go into their bodies. And Lord, I just pray, God, for a healing where healing's needed. Forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. And Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.